It is 51551 for your texts. Countrywide at rte.ie is our email. And we've already got a text in from someone saying, fabulous morning in Castlerean, County Roscommon. Sun is shining. I thought they were joking, but it actually is shining. But I hate to tell you, the rain is on its way. So if you're in Castlerean this morning, get all your shopping and all your bits done before, what is it looking at? 11 o'clock this morning when the rain is due. And it has, of course, been such a chaotic year for weather. We've had a very wet spring. We've had a drought in parts of the country by May, the hottest June on record, and now it's been the wettest July on record. And we non-farmers in Ireland can travel through these conditions as best we can. But for farmers, well, they have to manage their stock and their crops in the face of it. But they are adept at doing this. So how are things going and what can be done? Well, we're going to take it a flavour from farmers across the country this morning. I'm joined this morning by Andrew Bergen, tillage farmer in Kildare, Eamon Carroll, a dairy farmer in Tipperary, Padraig McCormack, who grows spinach, lettuce leaves and herbs as part of his McCormack family farm in Meath, and Anne Gleeson-Hanrahan in Offaly. She's a contractor and the managing director of the Association of Farm and Forestry Contractors in Ireland. They do work on behalf of farmers. Good morning to all of you. Padraig, I'm going to start with you. I was in the supermarket yesterday. I bought my lettuce and my spinach on this side of the fence. It all looks fine. How has it been for you in the field?
It has been quite a turmoil, to be honest with you. Yes, it all looks great on the shelf and people don't think twice, but I think we're after having the hardest 3 months of our life, literally, in the Irish season.
Really?
To be honest with you, our main motto is Irish produce on the shelves between June to mid-October. But it's quite a struggle right now.
And just describe, if you can, your fields and the kind of efforts that you have to go to now, given the wet weather.
Well, to be very honest with you, the optimism that you carry every day, hoping and praying that everything's going to evolve to what it should be, literally now, even to get into the fields, never mind to get to harvest, is a massive issue. Every day we're planning ahead, but we never get to the field in that day. And if we do, literally it's a slog in such a way that certain fields are just not able to travel. The machines are not able to harvest in it. And literally, if you do get in, you're getting a quarter of your volume due to quality, etc., because it's no different than having your lovely house plant at home. If you water it every day, it's just going to diminish and go yellow. So when you're looking at thousands of kilos of product, ready, fit, beautiful, lying flat, that the machines can't cut or can't travel, and then, of course, being wet is a big issue for us because it's so hard to pack.
And I can hear the weariness in your voice. I mean, it is not easy to wake up to a morning like this morning for you.
Hey, to be fair, the hands-on effect right now is literally sourcing product Europe to fulfill the gaps, even though we have the produce but we can't get it literally harvested, is to fulfill our orders for our retailers and food service clients, which the demand is summertime, of course, literally very big for us. And the hands-on effect of literally acting fast, speaking to other growers in UK, Germany, Sweden, what to see for next week, because we wouldn't have programs with these other growers because our main motto is to grow the volume ourselves. Yes, we have it, but we just can't. We can't get into the fields. And talking to growers in Sweden at the moment to import baby spinach. And then you have literally the passionate consumer that's looking for Irish product actually emailing McCormick Farms, why is the product Sweden? Why is it from Germany? Why is it from the UK? Your McCormick family farms, Irish growers. You can't really say this in the wrong way. Look out your window. Nobody can even mow their lawn right now.
And of
now.
Course, you fix your contracts with the major supermarkets and the wholesalers
in the
spring, and you have to fulfil that. So importing it is your only way. I want, Padraig, bear with me for a second. I want to go to Kildare with Andrew Bergen there, tillage farmer. Andrew, you grow spring and winter cereals, oilseed rape and peas. Your concern this week was harvesting your milling wheat, and this is wheat for flour. flower. If it gets wet, the quality goes down. How have you got on, Andrew?
We got the milling wheat cut yesterday evening just before the rain. We got what should be the milling wheat. We'll have to do some tests today to see whether it still is. On Monday when we tested it, it was still just about making the grade. But if it gets the more wetting it gets once the seed is mature, the more that quality deteriorates. So I'm kind of on a knife edge today till I get some results there. But it's cut and it's in the shed.
Good. And you grow peas. The cans of bachelor peas are your peas. I just wonder, you know, we used to have in Ireland, and hopefully we will to a certain extent still have it, this idea of four seasons in one day. But now we have these big blocks of weather, dry drought conditions in May, and now this, you know, tumultuous rain, these sort of rapid cycle of wet and dry, hot and cold. How does it affect the likes of your peas?
Yeah, the peas are particularly vulnerable there, because once the pea pod is mature, it dries out. Like, we harvest the peas dry through a combine, so the pea pod is quite dry. Now, if it gets repeated wetting and drying, it shrinks and expands until it splits, and then the water gets in and that stains the pea. So that destroys the quality for canning, because visually it's still edible, but it doesn't look very good. They're a very tricky crop to harvest anyway, and so if we get a lot of this kind of weather and the damp ground is damp underneath, it's very hard for the crop to dry enough to go through the combine. The last Saturday here was an absolute godsend. I don't know where it came out. We had sun and wind and we flew through the peas, and I'm a new man after that.
Oh yeah, and I presume you know, it's hard for us non-farmers to understand this, but I mean, you're looking at the weather constantly. In a matter of 10 minutes, if you get a gap, you're out there and you're at work.
You are, certainly, and to be fair, like, weather forecasts haven't improved the weather, but they've made it a whole lot easier for us to know what's coming, and they're so much better than they were. Like, we're quite accurate, and yeah, because we're planning 10 days ahead is about as far as you can go with that. But you really, it's like a military operation now, this harvest, because compared to the last couple of years when we'd find weather and you could be like a Frenchman, you know, go out after your dinner and cut a bit and come in and have a glass of wine. It's not like that this year. Everyone is just hanging around waiting for opportunities, afraid to do anything. And crops are deteriorating in the fields. You know, that milling quality is going. A lot of malt and barley, most malt and barley is still to be cut. And again, that's the same thing. That malt and barley needs to germinate to make malt. So if it begins to even think about germinating in the field, it can fail for malt. And that's a big drop in your income
paid the premium. I want to go to Tipperary. Eamon Carroll, dairy farmer there. Eamon, how are you getting on? Did you manage to get out and cut the grass a second time to make silage?
Yeah, good morning, Ella. I suppose like your previous two speakers there, you know, we're being challenged all the time. I suppose a bit like the rest of them there, you know, our challenge actually started last October, in that when last year would have had been a good year per se, but the back end of the year then got very challenging, you know.
It was a long winter, wasn't it?
In the long winter, yeah. We had, I suppose, in October was very, very wet. November was a washout. We traditionally wouldn't be housing stock until the end of November, early December. I think we had everything housed last year in around the 8th of November. So, you know, roll that on during the winter months, and we normally would be out again with stock in fields in around the 10th of March, thereabouts, maybe a bit earlier. We didn't get out this year until around the 10th of April.
And of course, all that means that you're feeding your cows inside, and all of that is just extra money out, isn't it? I want, Eamon, just bear with me again there, just to go to Offaly with Anne Gleeson-Hanrahan, the contractor, because Anne, you were out cutting silage yesterday. It's been a very stop-start year, hasn't it?
It has been a very stop year. Yes, I was out cutting silage yesterday, but the ground conditions are poor enough now, but we managed okay. We got it done. It has been a difficult year for agriculture contractors. Work kind of has to be in a stop-start with weather conditions, going from rainfall to drought and back to one of the wettest Julys on record. As in earlier in the year, in February, like it was earlier than usual, beans was especially was sown, as weather conditions was reasonably good. Then it came, of course, to March, which very little tillage work was carried out.
And, of course, it plays havoc with your staff, doesn't it? Because you have weeks where they can't do much and you're trying to hold on to them as well.
That's correct. It does. It plays havoc with your staff, is right. Because, like, you could say, for example, you could maybe have one day this week that you're, say, out on the land working, and then the rest of the week then they're kind of in the yard and you're trying to do maintenance work and you're trying to hold on to them. And they are skilled staff, and you do need to be out on the fields and working.
And the other thing as well is these agri-environmental schemes and schemes in general where the departments say, look, you can't do this until this date. In terms of acres, the agri-environmental scheme, farmers were asked not to cut grass until the first week in July for the benefit of nature. This is becoming increasingly unworkable in the face of climate change, isn't it?
It is, like especially this year. Because anyone who have joined a new acre scheme, as you said, they're not allowed to cut their silage or hay until the 1st of July, which, especially the north, or say the west and the northwest, it turned out to be a disaster because they actually couldn't cut their silage or hay. They couldn't apply slurry, and they've had to turn around and bring their stock back in, which is going to create a food shortage and a slurry management problem.
Well, here, I presume for the four of you, here's hoping for a bit of stability in the weather in terms of sunshine and get a bit of what they have in Castlereagh, Roscommon this morning. Andrew Bergen in Kildare, Eamon Carroll in Tipperary, Pádraig McCormack in Meath, and Anne Gleeson-Hanrahan in Offaly. Thank you all so much for joining us this morning.